If you don't know SiriusXM, then listen up. Commercial-free music, plus sports, comedy, talk, and news. They have it all. And right now, you can get your first 3 months of SiriusXM outside the car for just $1. Go to SiriusXM.com/busted to see offer details and to subscribe. Offer available to new SiriusXM streaming subscribers. SiriusXM, no car required.
This is the Busted Open Podcast. You can listen to the full show Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on SiriusXM Fight Nation Channel 156.
Welcome in, Busted Open Nation, here on a Saturday. It is another weekend edition, podcast edition of Busted Open Radio. I am your weekend host, Ryan McKinnell. Got the world's strongest man, Mark Henry, across the way. And Mark, that's we got right. A hell of a show for the listeners out there today, including, I would say, the biggest news coming from SmackDown. And that is, well, SmackDown just got a whole lot more phenomenal. AJ Styles, now a full-time member of the roster. How the hell did that happen, Mark Henry?
You know what? I don't know. I'd like to see what was gotten in return for this trade. But nonetheless, I think AJ Styles is going to be great for SmackDown. And tune into the podcast and hear exactly what was said.
Hear what was said and find out who Mark Henry thinks is going to take this IC title tournament home as the weeks go on. We've got that. Speaking of taking titles home, you're going to find out who took our weekly winner in the week that was for professional wrestling. That's right, the best show in pro wrestling. And if you ain't first, you're last. And also, Mark, we would be remiss if we were doing this show 24 hours removed from the freaking Undertaker coming on Busted Open on Friday. That's a great show. And we're going to talk about it a little bit today and get more into the Undertaker, including Mark, his comments on kayfabe and just how difficult it was for him to kind of circle around and get right and kind of being comfortable talking about the business in a way that he never really has before.
I tell you what, that's an interesting segment on the podcast because I touch on it a little bit, but listening to the Undertaker say it really sends it home.
Absolutely, absolutely. This is a weekend edition of Busted Open, the podcast version. We've got Leaky Winner, we've got AJ Styles, we've got Undertaker, and more. And of course, you've got the world's strongest man right there, Mark Henry, to guide you through it all. Just sit back, relax, click play. Let's get it going. Busted Open on a Saturday. Plenty to get to from the SmackDown show, but I think the number one takeaway, or at least the question that everybody was asking and the subject that folks want to talk about is, wait, AJ Styles is now on SmackDown. AJ Styles announcing at the show on SmackDown, we find out that AJ Styles has been traded to SmackDown with essentially picks to be named later, superstars to be named later. Mark, we're about to get into this. Just base level, what did you think when you saw AJ Styles show up on SmackDown and it was announced that he is now a full-time member of the roster?
Well, one, I was excited because of the history of SmackDown. I love the fact that SmackDown is, I really got my big break on SmackDown. I mean, being on Raw, I was kind of lost in the shuffle, and a lot of guys were. And as the whole Ruthless Aggression story came out or was replayed this week. Man, that was big for me. And I think that AJ has had success on both shows, but most of his success was on SmackDown. So why not have him come back home?
Yeah, and this is a new SmackDown. I mean, this is... Now SmackDown is Raw, right? I don't know how you want to look at it, but certainly with being on Fox... The momentum, the attention being paid to SmackDown, the exposure that SmackDown's getting, it's not the same SmackDown that AJ Styles left.
It's not the same SmackDown, but it's a more youthful SmackDown, and it needs veteran leadership. It needs a guarantee. It needs a guy that could come in, and it don't matter where you put him, he's going to make a success. You look at the most relevant that Ricochet got to get in there with AJ Styles and it put an edge on him. Mm-hmm. Who's going to be next? Who's the one over there that AJ's going to touch next?
That's a great question. I guess the other thing I'd like to know from your standpoint, Mark, from a storyline standpoint, why just have AJ Styles show up at SmackDown? Why wouldn't you get more juice out of that squeeze? Why wouldn't you make that a storyline and use that to your advantage? The shock value of having AJ, the phenomenal one, show up on SmackDown. I feel like they could have done more with that rather than just show up on TV on a Friday and be like, hey, AJ Styles is here. Welcome to SmackDown, AJ.
You know, I think it would have been cool to say, you know what, I'm just unhappy here. I mean, this is, and him be disgruntled and kind of work the, you know, my contract is really over, you know, like I'm going to go and, you know, seek better waters, you know, whatever.
Sure.
Which people would automatically assume that he was talking about leaving the company. But, you know, it's a lot that could have been done that didn't get done. You know, it's like they just let one slip through the cracks.
Do you think there's a risk as we talk about AJ coming to SmackDown and the brand invitational? Now we're having trades again. It's just, listen, I understand it's a chaotic time. I understand that there's a lot of moving parts and every situation is fluid. I worry about, I guess, consistency, and I don't know. I guess I go back to, I wish it would have done more. I just feel like it felt flat. Don't get me wrong. I am very excited that AJ Styles is on SmackDown. It creates fresh matchups. And as you talked about, Mark, what he did for Ricochet and the rub that he is able to give. AJ Styles, there are few, if any, that are better at the world than being a professional wrestler, right? So I don't know. I just, with all of these moving parts and all of these storylines, like, we just found out about the brand-to-brand invitational. Now like, trades can be a part of this. I just worry about consistency a little bit, Mark.
Well, I mean, you also are a wrestling purist, and they said that people weren't going to be flopping back and forth, and that's not the case.
I know.
We're in a state of guys, you know, having matches on the Drew and Baron Corbin last week. Like, that's counter. Counterproductive from the standpoint that you said that that's not going to happen, and it's happening.
So what's the fix on that? Just slow it down, ramp it up, address it, don't address it. What do you think the approach should be with that?
You know what, man? I think that a trade and the person going there permanently is the answer. It's just that I wish they would have been able to do more with it.
Yeah.
You know, you got AJ Styles and you want to make a move and get another veteran guy over there to help carry the load, then, you know, work it. Work the gimmick, baby. Don't give it away. Don't give it away.
Words of wisdom from the world's strongest man there, Mark
Work
Henry.
The gimmick, baby.
So,
sound
as
like
we are
Austin
on this.
Powers, sex with chocolate mixed together.
That would be a very weird combo. The accent, I feel
very weird,
would really throw me off. So as we talk about AJ Styles, Mark, let's talk about the match last night, which I some people were saying was better than the WrestleMania match. And listen, it's definitely not Wrestle Kingdom, right? It's definitely not Japan. We haven't got anything close to that match in the WWE. But Shinsuke Nakamura and AJ Styles going to battle on SmackDown last night in what was, I don't know how you ranked the match in terms of their WWE matches, Mark. I am curious to get your thoughts. But I loved the match last night on SmackDown. It was a great match. Was it better than the WrestleMania match? I don't know if I'm going to go that far. But it was a damn fine television match from Shinsuke Nakamura and AJ Styles last night on SmackDown.
Yes, sir, man. It never ceased me to amaze me when AJ Styles gets in the ring with anybody, but
yeah,
he's got so much history with Shinsuke that them going out is like, man, it's like just for a ride in the park. Just going for the ride. Don't ask where you're going. just enjoy the damn ride. And it's hard for me, and we're going to talk about in this show our best shows of the week. And brother, this is the hardest week in a long time, where stuff was so balanced, and all four shows were good this week.
It's true.
And had elements to them that Where, man, you should be number one. But as we both know, there's only one number one.
It's true. And if you ain't first, you're last, Mark.
You're last.
That's right. That's right. So what'd you think about the match itself? How would you rank it when compared to the match at WrestleMania between Knock and Styles? I mean, this was, for me, I think it lands a little bit better for the standpoint. When you're in Mania, you're expecting those type of matches. Like, we were expecting Styles and Nakamura to have a great match at Mania. And I guess the same thing can be said about an IC title tourney during a pandemic. You know, when these two meet, you expected a good match. We got a good slash great match between AJ and Nak. Was this the best match you've seen from them in WWE?
I think that for the stage that it was on, it was the best. But when you go to Mania, I mean, there's nothing better than that. I mean, it's like magic, man. Like, you're walking around on a cloud all day and you're comparing your wrestling life to one day. When you get to WrestleMania, you think about your whole entire career leading to that point. And I can't compare them, but, man, that match last night. You sit on the edge of your chair, and you know, I was move dodging punches and you're kicks. You know, when a match gets me there, I won. Yeah, you reacting to what's going on like you're in there. Shit, yeah. That was good, man. They did that.
You talk about the vibes of WrestleMania. We'll talk a little bit more Mania later in the show as we get into the last ride and Undertaker. Obviously, Undertaker here on Busted Open yesterday. You'll be hearing audio from that. And if you want to hear the whole interview, it is up on demand over there on SiriusXM. Just search Busted Open Radio. You will find that very easily. But we talk about the last ride, and we'll talk about it more, obviously, later in the show. But WrestleMania, you brought that up, Mark, kind of piqued my memory there a little bit, and watching Taker go out on that golf cart to WrestleMania, to wrestle John Cena at WrestleMania. Like, you talk about you thinking about all your matches prior. It's that heavy moment. You're in the zone, whatever you want to call it. Like, having the curtain pulled back and seeing Undertaker on that golf cart going to the match and seeing the nerves, right? Like, seeing the moment in his eyes. What a cool thing to be able to see as a fan of Undertaker for 30 years. It's just, it really put the moment of WrestleMania, as we talk about Styles and Nakamura, right? It really put that moment of WrestleMania in context for me. It's not like I didn't know, but I think I saw a little bit more of what you're talking about, Mark, in terms of the legacy and what every wrestler thinks about when you head into a moment like Mania, even a guy like The Undertaker.
Yeah, and also, the fans have never got to see behind the scenes like that. Where you get to see people warming up, getting ready, where you get to see you walk through the arena getting to the gorilla position and out of the gorilla position to the stage where everybody can see you. You don't get to see a husband kiss his wife as he's, you know, going through the reverence that other people show you, you don't get to see. So, yeah, I mean, that is just like the last ride in Michael Jordan's documentary are parallel in the sense that you got to see behind the stage in a way that you've never seen it. And it was uncomfortable for Taker to show that. And we're going to talk about that too. But when I say uncomfortable, this whole documentary was not meant to come out. There was no point. Right. They weren't thinking about doing a doc. You know, what they were thinking was, this is the end. I want documented footage of that time for my family. And for me to relive it and look at it again one day when I'm old and gray, and which is now, and and that's what happened. The world made it easier and tolerable for that to happen.
It evolved into the story that we're watching now with the left, right, as you said, which is, it is to see it, you know, and him talk about it like, oh, this was just supposed to be the Reigns mania, and then it evolved into the Cena, and now obviously there's going to be more parts to this. And honestly, outside of maybe Michelle McCool and Undertaker, the people that have had, you know, advanced screenings of this, it's exciting because I don't really know where it's going to go. I don't know where the show's going to go. Plenty more, you know, coming up.
I was asked.
Oh, no, go ahead.
I was asked if I wanted a copy, and I was like, no, I want to watch it like everybody else.
Now, see, I like that. You want to experience it as a fan, yeah, just like as everybody else.
Because the conversation that we're having right now would be completely different if I knew the end already.
Like what you're hearing? Catch Busted Open live Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on SiriusXM Fight Nation Channel 156 or on demand with the SiriusXM app.
Not only was it awesome to hear from The Undertaker, but his wife, Michelle McCool, stopping by beforehand and sharing a look behind the scenes of their life and what it's like to be married to The Undertaker and have a family with The Undertaker. It was a really cool conversation. And Mark, we talk about how cool the conversation was. You just heard the audio there. That takeaway of Mark talking about kayfabe, of Taker talking about kayfabe and how it was tough for him to start talking in any way about the business of breaking kayfabe in any way up until recently, you know, he grit his teeth and he got through it. I kind of want to throw that back at you. When did you start becoming more comfortable talking about the business? When did you start or stop, I should say, gritting your teeth a little bit less when that subject came up? Because you're a part of that era as well. So I would imagine it's a little bit of a battle as you go back and forth with your, I guess, with your brain, right?
Yeah, at first it was really difficult. It was really difficult to have that conversation with anybody.
Yeah.
But coming into the media and your job is to talk about pro wrestling at a level that is from an inside perspective, and that's what your role is. It was difficult, but that's what you have to do. That's your job. And still, even to this day, I'll have those conversations with you. Yeah. I have those conversations with my workmates, but I'm not having those conversations with, you know, Jimmy Joe's podcast or some.
What podcast. What a big podcast that is, too. Jimmy Joe's.
Yeah, it's so Jimmy Joe's is good. they're over. I'm not going to go to the dirt sheets and talk about the history of pro wrestling.
Yeah.
As I saw it from the inside out, standing right next to it, I'm not going to do it. But I remember the first time that I came into a situation where I was asked about something, and I was like about to go off on the guy that asked the question. And the WWE at the time, the rep that was with me, he was like, no, this is cool. We're open for this conversation. And I was like, well, yeah, this is what it is. And it bothered me. And I can imagine it being worse for Taker because I was pro wrestling. I was sports entertainment. He was an entity that was in pro wrestling. Like, there was a difference. And okay. It was based off secrecy. It was based off of, this is the cream of the cream, the creme de la creme, the cream on the top. We can't just give this. And hearing him talk about it, it just makes it more real to me how hard it was for him.
Yeah. And I would imagine it was very hard for him because that's, I think, what's lost in all this. You're seeing how human Mark Calloway is, how human The Undertaker is. And we compared it to The Last Dance, right? This is The Last Ride. We had The Last Dance with Michael Jordan. Seeing Michael Jordan reflect on his career, seeing Michael Jordan cry, tear up, seeing Michael Jordan be human. It was, for me, a Bulls fan, I was like, holy shit, like, this dude is human. It really set things up for me. The same thing is happening for me with this Undertaker documentary. And Mark, it goes back to what you said, like thinking about what this must, how hard this must have been for the Undertaker. That's not something we ever think about because it's the fucking Undertaker. You right. know what I mean?
And but you know what? And it's different in the sense that, you know, when you look at The Last Dance, you come across with not knowing who Michael Jordan was to, damn, I don't like this guy, to, wow, he was good. Damn, he was good. Holy cow. Larry Bird, Magic Johnson, Kobe Bryant, LeBron James, name somebody, and they all say, oh, he's number one.
Yeah.
Like, he was really good, guys. Like, and if they say that 74%, almost 75% of the people don't know that buy Michael Jordan shoes, have never seen him play.
Wow.
75? What do you think that this Last Dance is going to do to his sales?
Oh, I don't. Through the roof. Oh, it has
through
to
the roof.
Mark,
Oh, sorry, go ahead. Stop. But the difference, Michael Jordan, people, it was informational. People found out a lot about Michael Jordan.
Right.
But a lot of people hated what they found out. They were disgusted at the language and at the arrogance and that it's not like that with The Undertaker.
No, it's a complete
completely opposite.
Yeah.
For what you did not know about The Undertaker, you found out, oh my God, he played the undead and now he's a God-fearing man. He's been a family man. He putting out there that, you know, he was married before and it didn't work, and how the woman that he found is the best thing that ever happened to him, that's been supportive and not envious and loving and wanting to cater and care for him. Like, we weren't expecting that. I know, I knew that, but I wasn't expecting that to come out. I talked to Taker and Michelle yesterday about their kids being shown. They're the most private people that I know.
Yeah.
In any genre. So what will we find out on Sunday and going forward?
Yeah.
The Last Ride is more impactful to the wrestling fan than The Last Dance was for basketball fans. Mm. Unbelievable.
Well, it is. It is an unbelievable look into the life of not just one of the business's great entities, as Mark referred to, but just a look at the business in general, the psychology of the business, what one of, if not the greatest wrestler of all time, like what he went through and what he's going through towards the end of his career. I feel like it's going to be a textbook for future superstars and future pro wrestlers to look at and take away from, a humanizing look at a character that is truly, truly larger than life.
If you don't know SiriusXM, then listen up. Commercial-free music, plus sports, comedy, talk, and news. They have it all. A lot of people think you need a car to enjoy SiriusXM, but you don't. You can listen outside the car. Right now, you can get your first 3 months of SiriusXM outside the car for just $1. Just go to SiriusXM.com/busted to see offer details and to subscribe. You can listen on your phone, at home, and online. That's SiriusXM.com/busted. Offer available to new SiriusXM streaming subscribers. SiriusXM, no car required.
The landscape of pro wrestling is evolving, which means more options for fans.
So many activities!
Mark Henry and Ryan McKinnell are here to answer the difficult questions. What was the best show this week?
If you ain't first, you're last.
The week's over, so get over. This is the Busted Open Weekly Winner.
Yes, you hear the music. It is hour two on Busted Open. I am Ryan McKittle. That is Mark Henry. And it is time for the weekly winner. We give our best show in the world of professional wrestling. Mark, we got a go-home show to talk about, potentially. We got Wednesday Night Wars in the mix. We got Friday Night SmackDown. We got Monday Night Raw. As you said, all of the shows were pretty solid this week. But before we get to that, got to wish a very happy birthday birthday. Your memory recall is pretty incredible. You said, I feel like it's someone's birthday today. We were talking during the break. Well, it wasn't exactly their birthday today, but it was their birthday very soon. I mean, it's very early in the morning, Mark, right now as we do this show. So it's kind of like today. But yesterday, Daniel Bryan turning 39 years old, one more year away from 40. Still as good as ever, Mark Henry.
Good as ever, man. You know, pro wrestling historically, you had guys wrestling well into their 50s because the talent was undeniable. The body was still there. The love and passion for the business is still prevalent. Daniel Bryan is that. Like, he'll be that guy that at 45, he'll still be running really, really strong. And he'll make the decision of whether or not he wants to end his Hall of Fame career at that time. But Daniel Bryan, 5 more years of easy, productive years. And well into he's 50, he could start passing the torch if he wanted to. So, man, I'm just, you know, looking at this dude and wishing him a happy birthday and continued success. Carry the business, brother.
There you go. Happy birthday, Daniel Bryan. You talk about carrying the business. He absolutely, you know, he is. He's at that point right now where he's just working with people that he likes and people that he wants to, you know, put some shine on him. It's been really enjoyable watching the last, well, ever since, really. I mean, even with the hemp belt and the environmentalist Daniel Bryan, that was super enjoyable. Yeah. Ever since he's come back, it has been a really enjoyable, and for myself, you know, similar to Edge, I didn't know if we'd ever see it again. So it's been a really great surprise to have Daniel Bryan back in the business. Yeah, it is. It feels like a gift. And again, similar to Edge, and it makes it all that much more enjoyable. But Mark, enough with the birthday wishes. Daniel Bryan will be fine. He's got a beautiful wife. He's got a beautiful family. I'm pretty sure he's a pretty frugal guy. So I'd imagine that his bank account is still sitting pretty
nice,
pretty decent. Yes. As we talk about Daniel Bryan, but nice. Mark, it is weekly winner here on Busted Open. It is hour two. So sir, I am going to let you go first. I want to get your thoughts on what was the best show in pro wrestling for the week.
Man, I'll go with the high points.
Okay.
So let's start with Raw.
Okay.
Since it was first.
Yeah.
And having Baron Corbin and one of the premier wrestlers, if not the most premier wrestler in the world right now, Drew McIntyre, they carried the show. I mean, it was a good show, all in all. A lot of bells and whistles, but the whole show from beginning to end was about that match.
And it was building towards that, yeah.
It was building towards that match.
Yeah.
And it was a really, really good match. High level. Drew McIntyre has proved that, one, you can talk less and clay more. And I love the T-shirt. I can't wait to get it. But I tell you, Baron Corbin to me proved that he is arguably the best heel in pro wrestling. He did everything that a heel is supposed to do, and he took it on the chin. And it did not hurt Baron Corbin, not one bit. And that's the testament of a heel's work when he can go out there, fall on his shield, and still got over. And then you go to NXT. NXT was so full of fire. There was so many. Listen, the tournament is killing me. The three-way dance now that's going to come out. The women's match, Mia Yim and her stuff. Like AEW with Arn and Jake.
And then I had a feeling you might like that.
And then you get, and that's not counting, you know, Jericho is just, he's just so damn good. He's such a classic, man. And then you get to yesterday, you get to Friday, you get to SmackDown. And I'm not saying it because it's the last thing that we saw, but when you start talking, you have a mixed tag match that was as balanced a match as that one. You have a women's match with Bayley and Sasha that was probably, I can't say it was the best match, but I can say this. There were two matches this week that were complete and utter breathtaking matches. And that was last night, watching Bayley and Charlotte beat the living shit out of each other. And then you go back and you watch from the men and you watch Sheamus. My God, Sheamus and Jeff Hardy, they beat the living shit out of each other. And I guarantee you that when Charlotte and Bayley went into that match, they were like, nobody.
Yeah.
Is gonna, you could tell nobody is gonna say that we weren't as real and tough as the men are. So that being said, I mentioned one thing on Raw. I mentioned one thing on AEW. I mentioned one thing on SmackDown, on NXT.
Mm-hmm.
But there were three things on SmackDown last night that moved me, and I would have to give my weekly winner to SmackDown.
All right.
And if you, and you know, if you're not first, you're last.
Well, Mark, I mean, listen, I'm not, that SmackDown did not take my weekly winner for the week that was in professional wrestling. But when you bring up those two matches specifically with Bayley and Charlotte Flair, Sheamus and Hardy, those weren't even the two best matches from SmackDown, in my opinion. You need to throw AJ Styles and Shinsuke Nakamura in there as well, who had a bit of a continuation to their story. I thought those three matches, you're absolutely right, they delivered in a very big way, specifically Bayley and Charlotte, Mark, where I just feel like, I mean, we know that coming up on this Monday, Charlotte's going to be in a triple threat, right? So Charlotte's kind of like on all the shows right now, but I feel like her coming over to SmackDown, and this is something we've talked about in regards to SmackDown, in regards to Bayley, that heel turn that Bayley has been on, the heel run, that is not something I've been particularly high on, Mark. It's not something you've been particularly high on. I don't think it's been going that well until Charlotte Flair has shown up. The injection that Charlotte has given into this heel turn for Bayley, it's added some realism to Bayley. And I also think it's given Bayley a foil to work with in a way that she hasn't had on the roster. Now, I don't know if that's just Charlotte Flair's genius, if it's just Bayley feeling more comfortable with Charlotte, if it's just, I don't know, if it's just nostalgia, you know, rearing its head and making me enjoy this. But Mark, I really feel like this run that Bayley is having as a heel has finally caught on, at least with me, and it's in all the credit goes, at least in my opinion, to Charlotte Flair and her ability to elicit emotion.
And look at the balance that they had also with the moment with Sasha.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't in the match, but after the match, post-match. And you put these two against each other, and they're, hey, man, you didn't come to help me. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm just kidding. Like, it's like they are, bro, they are massaging this and making it something that is even bigger. And, you know, you add the Otis and Mandy and Dolph and Sonya. Holy cow. It's an unbelievable thing. Wow.
Yeah.
It's hard for me to go against it.
Yeah, it's a strong argument, and I think it's a testament to just how good the world in pro wrestling was this week. And you talked about Raw; that was a great show. Double or Nothing AEW had a great go home show heading into Double or Nothing. Obviously, the return of the Young Bucks, which was exciting, and then Adam Page running in and doing the 100-yard dash across the Jacksonville Jaguars field. That was awesome. There was a lot of great moments from AEW, but Mark, I couldn't escape the entire package that was NXT this week. I don't know if it's the Karrion Kross bias and me seeing that entrance again to open the show and kind of setting the mood for me. I mean, what, Mark, we haven't really gotten to talk about this You know what I think about Cross, right? We've talked about it length here on the show. But to have a guy debut in the way that he's debuted and having the rocket strapped to his back in this way, like immediately, it honestly has to me in some level, and I hate myself for bringing this name up and evoking this name, especially within the last 24 hours on the show, but Mark, it feels a little bit like The Undertaker in terms of the pomp and circumstance, the production of it all, and from the bat, like telling you that this person matters. It's been a while since I've seen something like Cross come along and have the WWE believe in anyone that way. So that's been exciting to see.
It's been an unbelievable week. And the buildup for Cross, who's going to be that first one?
Yeah.
Major one that's like, hey, man, the smoke and the creepy music don't scare me. Like, get your ass in this ring and let's go. Like, well, who's that guy going to be? Like,
well, I'm hoping, Mark, we saw it on Wednesday, and that is looking like it's going to head into In Your House. It's going to be Tommaso Ciampa. And if it is Tommaso Ciampa, which is looking like it's going to be, oh, my God. Karrion Kross versus Tommaso Ciampa for your first feud? Let's go.
Man, let's go. I think it's going to be spectacular. I think this is the first installment of who Kross is going to be.
Yeah.
But, you know, I still want to see who's the guy that's going to come for him. I think he's going to go for everybody else. And he will go after somebody like Ciampa. But, man, it's going to come a day. And we'll have that. But I don't know. I'd have to give it to SmackDown. I just, you know, as much as I loved AEW NXT, I just felt like we got more bang for our buck yesterday than we did on Wednesday.
Well, there you go. That is the opinions of the world's strongest man and WWE Hall of Famer, Mark Henry. And hey, who am I to argue with that? But I'm going to, just slightly, because my weekly winner is NXT. I talk about Karrion Kross kicking off the show. And then, Mark, you alluded to when you were talking about the high points of each show. The Cruiserweight tournament continuing. Obviously, Phantasma versus Tozawa on Wednesday night. And then the main event of AEW, which was, not the main event, but the main event for a lot of people, Kushida and Drake Maverick. Drake Maverick getting the dub, going to 2-1 in the tournament and seeing himself move on. That's been a fun story to follow. Obviously, the match between Rhea Ripley and Io Shirai, that was a kick-ass match that I thought was very well done. Just a very match-centric show. Roderick Strong versus Dexter Lumis, that was a strong-ass match. Like, that was a match that I really enjoyed. And also, listen, anytime Danny Burch and Oney Lorcan find themselves in a match, and I know it was a squash match with Ever-Rise, I can watch Lorcan and Burch go all day. We didn't get to see much, but it just felt like a well-paced show, a little bit of a squash, some storylines with Drake Maverick, but matches told the story, Mark, and they were all really good matches. So AEW got, a little bit of a slip of the tongue there. My slip is showing, Mark, I think a little bit, as you would
partially.
Say. NXT getting my weekly winner for the week that was in the business of professional wrestling.
Thanks for listening. Catch us Monday through Saturday on Busted Open from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on SiriusXM. Fight Nation, Channel 156. The Busted Open Podcast.